This is exciting, actually. We have this gentleman now is sweeping the world. He's a sensation, actually. His book in Norway is Helved, which means good wood. He's the man who has become famous for, you know, Norwegians and wood. It's not just the song. They love their wood. Every Norwegian is entitled to one, at least one fire source. You know, a wood burner or a fireplace or whatever. I think by law they're required to burn as much wood as possible. I'm surprised they have any wood left in Norway, to tell you the truth. And Lars Midding is the guy who became famous by writing this book, which tells, you know, various things about stacking wood, using wood, burning wood, everything about wood. And his book will soon be published in this country as well, but right now we're waiting for that. Until then, we have him on the line with us. Lars Midding, all the way from Oslo. He's on the line with us right now. Lars, are you there?
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's very nice to speak with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Your book is a sensation. How are you standing up to all the scrutiny and all the publicity and all that sort of thing?
Oh, that's okay. I just... it was a big surprise, of course, but, yeah. You know, life goes on.
Yeah. What is it with Norwegians and wood?
Well, simple question is, or simple reply is, yeah, that if it hadn't been for the firewood, we would not have been here at all. Because in a cold country, you simply need it. So we have a long tradition for it. And the main difference between Norway and other countries is that we've never had an interruption by coal. We've had electricity, of course, mm-hmm, and kerosene, but the tradition of using firewood has never, it has never disappeared completely, and the last 30 years it's been steady rising.
Did you first burn all the wood from Sweden and then go on to your own?
Well, you'd imagine. We always love to compete with the Swedes, but
yeah,
in fact, the Swedes, they burn even more than us, so
they do.
We have a bit of catching up to.
Yeah. But there's more to that. There's something like psychological or sort of important in the especially with male Norwegians and wood. How do you explain that connection?
Well, if you just look at the subject, you would believe that, well, this is something you can source and say buy at the petrol station and use when you need it. But a lot of people here, they harvest it themselves, and they put a lot of effort into making it as good as possible. And very often it's the older men who's into this sort of work, and they have a lot of time, you know, so they gather as much as they can. They gather and gather firewood until the house is full, and it's been a tradition, in fact, that by the really old men, that you should have a wood pile that survives you, that will stand after your death.
Your pile will stand after your death?
Well, you have to work on it and make a lot of it. And it's a good tradition that your widow should be able to warm herself on the firewood.
Yeah.
That you, yeah.
And maybe throw you on the pile as well as it's burning.
Yeah,
just in some cases, and not all.
But to be serious, it's a way for a man, you know, to bring warmth in many senses of the word, to take care of your family. But of course, it's we live in a modern society, so this is a route that goes way back to older times. So it's both nostalgia, a reminder of how things were, and something practical that a lot of people does.
Yeah, and the title of your book actually in English is Solid Wood, but that's also something you say about a man, if solid wood is sort of a positive thing to say about a man.
Yes, absolutely. If you compare it with a tree that's rotten inside, it will be hollow inside. It will look okay when you look at it, but when you cut it down, you see that it is hollow or rotten inside. Mm. So solid wood simply means someone that that you can trust, and what you see is what you get, actually.
Yeah. The controversy comes in the stacking. Is that pretty much where there's some division of opinion?
No, there's division of opinion on a lot of things, both what kind of firewood to use and
yeah.
how to operate the stove and what is best, but absolutely in the stacking
yeah.
there's a lot of difference. And the biggest thing is, or you know, the smallest details is often the ones that makes the most discussion and controversy. And here it's mm-hmm. if we should have the bark up or if it should face down in a
yeah.
wood pile.
Yeah. What is your own feeling on it?
Well, it depends on the climate, more or less. It's along the coast. It's best practice to have the bark up because it's water repellent. And if you get a lot of rain, like you do on the coast, it will drip off and not come into the wood. But bark down will make it dry a little bit faster. So in the inner parts of the country, it's the tradition is to have bark down, and that's the way I always done it. So
your inner
bark, yeah, yeah, it's in my blood to put the bark down.
it dries a little faster if the bark is down, but you, then
it
gets
faster.
It gets wetter, so it's kind of ironic, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, you know, but it's not the biggest difference because
no.
the firewood dries. Most of the fire, or it dries faster through the ends. So whether you put it up or down is more or less something you can have an argument to your neighbor about. It's it doesn't make that much difference in practice, but it's fun to have something to argue about.
Yeah, and it's and a way of talking. Maybe if people aren't, if they're a bit taciturn, sometimes you can always talk about the wood, right?
Oh yeah, but well, it will cause a heated debate very often, and the various ways of stacking it is also where people can express themselves.
Yes,
you can tell a lot of a person by through the way his or her wood pile looks.
Yeah, and I saw the guy who stacked his wood in the shape of the king and queen. I thought that was a little unusual.
Yeah. He was an old man in a very, very remote part of Norway who had made a sculpture of the royal family.
Mm.
And they made headlines after it was a newspaper. I think they were driving a car 6 or 7 hours just trying to find him because he lives way deep inside the woods. And then, so he hadn't had visitors for a very long time.
Yeah.
But then, that made national headlines here. And, people take pride in it. And they, it can be both a way to make a funny sculpture that you can burn for the winter.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And what I guess there's a TV show where they showed nothing but wood burning for based on your book, right?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
we had
inspired
it was in two parts. We had actually 4 hours of call it infotainment about chainsaws, axes, splitting, the various types of wood, how to operate a stove, and
yeah.
so on. 4 hours of that.
Yeah.
And this, it was hugely popular. So, and it's great. But after that, we had 8 hours of live fireplace.
Live fireplace.
Yes, completely unscripted.
Yeah, and I got once again huge numbers. Lots of people watching that.
Yes, they did. We had they had followers on who. Well, it started at midnight, and the fire was burning all the way till 8 o'clock in the morning. And I know there were people watching the whole thing. And what actually was funny was that, well, I was sleeping at that time, completely exhausted. But what was funny was that people felt this was exciting to look at.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. And then I, on second thought, when I looked at it myself, I actually, it was, I wouldn't call it very suspenseful, but But what struck me was that for thousands of years, people has looked into the fire and they've been anxious over the fire, you know, getting out. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was that old ancient feeling that came back to the viewers, that they were afraid that the photographer should fall asleep and the fire go out.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And the controversy on what to burn. Do you favor pine or spruce or what?
Well, actually, most of the traditions in most countries go way back to old times, and the favorite has always been the heaviest wood.
Sure.
Yeah, like oak, hickory, and here in Norway it's been beech and say the harder woods. But actually, in a modern house with a modern clean burn stove, sometimes it gets too hot by using this old firewood that traditionally was favored. So I like to burn pine and aspen and the lighter types of wood. Mm-hmm. But for the very, very cold nights, we get down to 35 Celsius below here. And then I always used the hardest and best type of wood. But for modern use of a stove, then it's good to have a bit of a selection of various sorts of wood.
Yeah. How big is your stack right now?
Well, it's I used half of it. I have an enormous reserve here. But, 2 meters high.
Well, that's pretty
two
big.
Layers and 5 meters across, I'd say. Yeah.
Is there some competition in that regard between one man's stack and another?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And,
like who in your neighborhood, is there a guy who has like the biggest stack, or would that be you?
No. I have an old lumberjack who lives, just 20 meters up here, and he's an expert with the axe. And Well, he got a little bit carried away 2 years ago, so he had he has firewood under the veranda, and he has 5 layers outside the longest wall, and also his garage is full.
Yeah.
So no place for the car.
Oh.
And he says that, well, it's I'll give it to my daughter, and because they need it, but it's... I think he has enough for 25 winters or so.
Yeah. Well, I hope he has 25 winters. That's important. That's perfect.
Yeah. But he continues. I think if you just let him work on with his axe, he will have 50 winters.
Yeah. Just parenthetically here, I mean, are there people who have made structures out of their firewood because they have so much that they can actually build a habitat or some sort of structure from using the stacked wood?
Yeah. Yes, some people enjoy to make play sheds, you know, small houses that kids can play in.
Oh.
So you need obviously quite long logs. You need like 50, 60 centimeters long to get it so it doesn't fall down. But then you can actually make a freestanding small house of it. And that also is a tradition.
Yeah. Now you yourself, you're a novelist, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I've written 2 novels, and I'm working on my third one. Yeah.
Working on the third one right now, when you're not stacking and so forth. So this sort of came out of nowhere for you, this the solid wood, in a sense.
Yeah, it was meant as a side project, actually, something that shouldn't be, something I meant to write in a few months, and then... Well, we didn't have much hope, actually, that it would even find a market here. So it was a huge surprise for us. But what I learned was that if it's a subject that you could cover in maybe 10 pages, and then most of the important things would be done. But what if we doesn't limit it to 10 pages? What if we make 200 and go deep into the details? And
yes.
That was exactly what was needed to make it to bring the story alive.
Yeah.
So the drier the subject, the deeper you have to go into the detail.
That's good. And so we don't have the book here yet, so I'm not quite sure. How did you fill it out? Did you go into the history and the metaphysics of it and the religious connotations of wood
yeah.
and wood burner?
Some of it. Yeah. I try to cover all the stages yeah. from the woods, from the fire forest, and all the way through. The work in with sawing it, splitting it, stacking it, and then a lot of how to operate the stove, and also what is very important is the environmental aspects, because if you use it wrong, it will pollute a lot, but correctly used, it actually pollutes very, very little. So that was also very important. And what I found was that when I was to interview people and build the story, I found it was very hard to, say, get someone to talk about the emotions in it. Mm-hmm. They would say one or two sentences, and then they felt it was difficult to speak about. But when I asked how they did it, then the true story came, and they there was no limit to the details and care that they took in how to get the wood as good as possible. So that's how the book is told, actually. It's a practical guide, but you can tell by the voice that there is someone who is a firewood geek who's written it.
Yeah. Well, I can hardly wait till it comes here. Helved, it is in Norwegian, correct? And here it will be solid wood, and it is coming to our shores?
Yes, we hope it will be out this autumn.
This autumn, great. Hmm. Lars, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy man between the stacking and the writing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's
Lars,
a pleasure.
Lars Midding, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Oslo.